daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to continue progress. Progress where? In terms of turning aside, defeating, moving past the COVID-19 pandemic. What's the best way to do that? Well, vaccines are part of it, whether people like it or not. Though there are disturbing indications that there are more and more people who are determined not to get vaccinated, and 8%, which is a substantial number of people, that amounts to millions of people, about 15 million, who say they have gotten the first vaccine, but they're not going to get vaccinated a second time. Why not? We will explore that issue. We will explore also an illness for which I don't think there is a vaccination at this point, which was the Oscar ceremony last night. It was incredibly weird. What made it so weird? How did it happen? Why was the best actress winner, Frances McDormand, howling like a wolf along with a bunch of her compatriots on stage when they won the Best Picture Award for Nomadland? We will get to that mystery and many more mysteries of the Oscars. Also, there is a mysterious cause that is attracting bipartisan support that is profoundly unworthy. There is a drive to strip away medals of honor, congressional medals of honor, from people who died for their country, fighting for their country, fighting for the U.S. Army, died, and some of them, not all of the people who were supposed to have their medals of honor stripped away, but they're all dead now because it has to do with the Battle of 1890. So what is the deal with, because of the obsession right now with the idea that America is a racist, bigoted, horrible, wretched, miserable, corrupt, and disgraceful country? Why do you want to take away medals of honor from people who won them long ago? We will get to that fascinating question and why it is that a lot of Republicans are supporting this. I don't get it. And we will also be speaking about the secret of happiness. One of the secrets of happiness, don't wish for it. Work for it. So how do you do that? We'll be speaking with Dr. Arthur Brooks, economist, a former recent head of the American Enterprise Institute and a friend of this show who's written a couple of the very, very best books on happiness and how to work for it. That will be coming up on this very busy day on the Michael Medved Show. First off, the mystery, and it is one of many mysteries to probe today, about why it is that the experts and the people who are trying to run this program are worried that we may have hit a ceiling in terms of people who are getting vaccinated. Right now, the Wall Street Journal, and again, conservative source, is reporting that the vaccine demand has shown signs of slowing. They are producing more vaccines, not vaccines that make you ill, but the kinds of vaccines that can actually save your life. And the vaccines are now eligible for available for anybody age 16 and older. Right now, there are six more states that have expanded eligibility for COVID-19 vaccinations. Every American age 16 and older who wants a shot can get one. The question now, says the Journal, is just how many actually want it. Last week, President Biden introduced a tax credit for small businesses to offset paid leave for employees so they can go out and get a COVID-19 vaccine dose, part of an effort to spur hesitant Americans to get vaccinated. The announcement came amid signs that the pace of vaccinations is slowing. The Biden administration has now reached its goal of giving 200 million doses within the president's first 100 days, but there are signs that supply may be outstripping demand. And you could say that that's a good thing, that we have extra supply here and we can provide demand. But why would that be occurring when there are still many, many American adults, leave aside lots of kids? And by the way, it is not impossible for kids to get COVID-19 and to become very sick from it, just as it's not impossible for people who are 40 years old. In fact, when they look at the people who right now are very seriously ill from the COVID-19 virus, increasing percentage of those people are people between the ages of 25 and 50. It's not just old timers anymore. The Wall Street Journal has another piece. And again, I'm citing the Wall Street Journal, not some left-leaning source of news. But they have a piece, Vaccine Hesitancy Worries Officials. Top health officials warned that vaccine hesitancy posed a risk to getting enough Americans inoculated to stop the spread of COVID-19. And those officials encouraged Americans to get vaccinated. If you want to call in and explain why you personally have decided not to get vaccinated, or if you've decided you don't want to get a second dose, if you've already gotten a first dose, you can give us a call. 1-800-955-1776 is the phone number. I got an email that I wanted to share with you. It's a very kind email, and I'm appreciative of it. But it's from Jared in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he says, this is not so much a disagreement as it is an observation. Your support behind and rooting for Team COVID perplexes me. I agree with 98% of your views and the logic behind those views. And you're infinitely smarter than me, he says. But I don't understand your repeated cheering on the COVID pandemic. I'm actually cheering on the efforts to counteract the COVID pandemic, particularly as it pertains to the vaccination. I'm not anti-vaccination. In fact, I'm already vaccinated. But that being said, if somebody is so terrified of contradicting COVID and they wish to avoid contraction of COVID, they should get a vaccination. If, however, somebody does not possess that same fear and they don't want to get vaccinated for whatever reason, I don't understand the obsession with encouraging those individuals to get vaccinated. Logic would say at some point they're probably going to contract COVID, at which point they're either going to be immune or they could, as we've seen, catch it again. But other individuals around said person who are vaccinated theoretically shouldn't have to worry about it, because they've already been vaccinated. Okay, COVID is real. Only a dummy would argue otherwise. But Michael, why are you cheering this thing on so intensely like it's your beloved Mariners or Seahawks? I just don't get it. COVID aside, I love your show so much. Thank you for all you do. And thank you for the kind words, Jared. Let me explain very briefly, and we will go to your calls right after the break. But the question here is that we are close to about 50% of American adults being fully vaccinated. In order to get what they call herd immunity, to really stop this thing so we stop getting all these brand new infections, the number of new infections in most states and most areas has been going up. They have. And to stop that from happening, to have the rate of infection going down, to really begin to make progress so we can get back to normal life, you need between 70 and 80% of the population vaccinated. That's why what you do, even if you don't directly infect somebody else, matters. We're in this together. We'll be right back on the MedVed Show.
Your daily dose of debate. It's the Michael Medved Show.
of my favorite people in government here on the Michael Medved Show was one of the most brilliant people in government. He's been on the show a couple of times, written a couple of books. He is very much a Christian believer and actually a Christian scholar. And his name is Dr. Francis Collins. He is director of the National Institutes of Health. And he is the one who first did the complete human genome. The project was done under his direction. In any event, Dr. Collins says if we're going to be able to put COVID-19 behind us, we need to have all Americans take part in getting us to that point. And what does he mean? Getting vaccinated. It really doesn't hurt that much. And yes, the side effects that some people get, I will tell you I did not, but the side effects that some people get are unpleasant, but they last for at most 48 hours. Whereas COVID, they are now discovering with further research about it, it's not just the long haulers that you hear about, that people who think, oh yeah, I had the illness and then I recovered from it, are reporting permanent or close to permanent or long-term damage to their lungs, to their voice, to their sense of taste, all kinds of problems. Let's go to Scott in Federal Way, Washington, 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. Hello, Scott. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Well, you know, I just looked into it again, and on UW Medicine today, it says, we cannot schedule an appointment. We can waitlist you, but call us, and then you get to wait online for 45 minutes to get waitlisted. It's not like the it appears, at least when my father got it, it took him and his wife 3 weeks of constant calling and showing up to different places to get it, and I'm not willing to dedicate my entire life to it. But it does appear that, at least from my medical plan, that they're not really interested in giving me the vaccination. They won't let me schedule it, and I'm sure they're giving them out, don't get me wrong, but they're making sure that it's not...
Can I make a suggestion? Can I make a suggestion to you? Have you gone to a site called vaccinelocator.doh.washington.gov? That should get you set up right away, actually. I took a look at it. There's a piece that was written by the heads of three leading medical organizations in our state, including the Nathan Schlicker, who is the president of the Washington State Medical Association. He says you can find a list of local vaccination sites at vaccinelocator.doh.wa.gov. And look, you're right. We were in a big hurry to try to get vaccinated because I wanted to be able to see my grandchildren. And so we pushed and we were able to find places and find facilities. But it's apparently easier now because the demand is less fervent. And so what you're saying is you don't have any objection to getting a vaccine. You're just concerned about the hassle.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, completely reasonable. The one thing you will find, and this has been true for everybody that I know, and that's a large extended family and friendship network, is that once you get that first vaccine, it's easier to get the second scheduled. And by the way, people should get the second scheduled. This idea that the New York Times has a big piece about the millions and millions of people who got one vaccine and figure, well, one is enough. It is, the one helps you. The one will reduce your chance of contracting the virus or contracting very serious symptoms. But it increases your chance. You have about a 70% chance you're going to avoid rather than the 95% chance that you get if you bother to get the second vaccine. Now, if that extra 25% reduction in your possibility of getting the virus isn't significant, then you're underestimating what the virus actually does to people. The piece that I mentioned, the Seattle Times runs this statement by Nathan Schlicker and Dennis Bradshaw and Judy Chan, who are all physicians who are involved in the state's leading medical organizations. And they say, as healthcare providers, we are committed to protecting the health and safety of our patients and our community. Over the past several months, we've gained a new weapon in the fight against coronavirus, vaccines. The effectiveness of this new weapon depends on the willingness of patients to seek them out and to sign up for vaccination. On behalf of the state's leading healthcare provider organizations, we are joining forces to urge our patients to do just that. Don't hesitate. Get vaccinated. Anyone over the age of 16 living in Washington State is now eligible to receive a vaccine. And they should take advantage of that opportunity as vaccine availability continues to grow. And I would just ask people to recall, do you remember what it felt like? And this is way, 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 way back in the dim resources of time. I know it's difficult. Things move so quickly today to look back to the end of 2020 when we were all obsessed with the election and we were obsessed with the election aftermath and then the raid on the Capitol. And there was so much going on. And then, of course, we've just had the Derek Chauvin trial. But for a few days, at least, there was almost euphoria. And this was back during the Trump administration when the Operation Warp Speed that was set up by President Trump ended up being a great, great success. And they ended up having not just one vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, which was the first one out of the box, but the Moderna vaccine. And then these other vaccines, the J&J vaccine, where, yes, they had some problems with it, but they point out, the three doctors who are heads of the medical associations here in Washington State, they point out that even with those JJ vaccines, there have been, in the case of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, there have been six reported cases of patients developing blood clot issues after being vaccinated. Out of approximately 6.8 million doses administered. And what some people say, the doctors don't say it, but the idea that those six cases necessarily came from the vaccination, they probably did, but it's still approximately the same as what the natural incidence of those blood clots would be. If you're talking about six out of 6.8 million doses of the J&J vaccine, that's why they are reauthorizing it. It's now safe, it's back, and they are no longer suspending even that vaccine. The idea here, and it's a very, very important and relevant idea, is that estimates have differed on how much of the population would need to be vaccinated. This is the Wall Street Journal, to stop the virus from circulating. But what is the answer? And why does that work? And why is it worth pursuing, even if you're not personally afraid of the virus? We'll be right back.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
All kinds of indications of improvement in the United States. It remains a major challenge, and obviously when President Biden is giving his, it's not a State of the Union address, it's a session, a speech to a joint session of Congress. where he will be answered. By the way, there'll be a Republican response to it by the outstanding Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. I'd asked about why is it so important that we all get vaccinated, even if you don't feel a personal fear of this. The Wall Street Journal reports estimates have differed on how much of the population would need to be vaccinated to stop the virus from circulating. But health experts are using 70% to 80% as a goal. As of Thursday of last week, 52% of adults in the U.S. had gotten at least one dose of a vaccine, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Anthony Fauci also said Sunday on one of the TV shows that he expects the CDC will soon issue updated guidelines in wearing masks outside. Let's go to David in Edmonds, Washington. David, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Well, I am not against vaccines, and in fact, I was willing to take the first Moderna, and I did. And within a few hours, I had severe responses to it. My face blew up to the size of a basketball. I was rushed to the hospital. They thought I was having a stroke. They gave me some medication to take care of some of those problems. I was dealing with this swelling for more than 5 days.
Wow.
I'm not sure I'm willing to take the second one because of it.
How long did you stay in the hospital?
I was only there for a short period of time because they had less than a day. They determined I wasn't having a stroke, that I was just having a bad reaction.
Do you have a personal physician?
What was that?
Do you have a doctor?
The doctor was at Swedish Hospital.
Right. What I was asking is, did you ask him about whether he advised you to get the second vaccine?
He actually absolutely advised me not to.
Well, then you should follow his advice. There's no question about it. Look, I don't think that wanting to do the responsible thing means that you should damage yourself or disregard doctor's orders. It may be that you have some allergic reaction that happens to vaccines. It's one of the reasons that whenever you tend to get a vaccine, I just got a shingles vaccine also this year, and which is also a very good idea for particularly for people who are over 50. One of the things they ask you is, do you have any known allergic reaction? Because there are all kinds of people out there, and you might be one of them, who have a specific allergy to whatever is in that Moderna vaccine you received. And if the doctor you saw for your swollen face and for that very negative reaction, if that doctor said, no, don't go back and get a second one, then I would pay a complete attention to what he or she says. You see, this is one of those things that I don't understand. One of the things that makes life possible, and particularly when you're dealing with potential of serious illness, and I really had never had serious illness until I had my bout with cancer starting at the end of 2014. And one of the things that struck me in the midst of that is you just have to trust these medical practitioners who have devoted a great deal of life. Fortunately, way, way, way back in the past, in 1983, I wrote a book that actually made it to national bestseller list called Hospital, Hidden Lives of Medical Center Staff. And one of the things that that book did, it was based upon a series of very intense, very personal interviews with people at every level of healthcare practice in a very major teaching hospital. And I had not realized until doing that particular book, you hear about doctors and they're always playing golf on Wednesdays. I don't know why Wednesday's special, and they drive big cars, but there is so much sacrifice I mean, tremendous sacrifice that goes into getting a medical credential. It's not easy. You not only have to be smart, you have to work incredibly hard. And particularly going through internship and residency, they don't call it internship anymore, now it's all residency. But going through that kind of work, and it's, you have to be tough, you have to be dedicated, you have to care. And it's also one of those things where you basically are a doctor 24 hours a day, particularly if you're in certain subspecialties like OBGYN. With four grandchildren now and three children of our own, we all depend on OBGYNs if we want to go through parenthood. And you have to trust them. And part of what I so much dislike about the anti-vax movement, and particularly on this one, is it's really based upon total distrust and disregard of medical professionals. And that's a shame. There's a graph in the Wall Street Journal about the states where the largest share of people say they won't get COVID-19 vaccines. And believe it or not, there is in one state, there's 20% who said, nope, no way, we'll never get it. And there are a bunch of states where it's close to or over 30% if you add that they definitely won't get the vaccine or probably won't. So what are those states? Okay. The U.S. average, generally, it's about 15% who are saying that they won't get the vaccine. But the states where, for instance, over 30%, Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, Idaho, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Alabama, Alaska, Mississippi, and Arkansas. And why is it that every one of those states, I mean, every single one of them, are deeply Republican states? Why should Republicans be more distrustful of a medical profession that we all need and we all need to count on in times of crisis than Americans who are independents or Democrats? I don't understand it, because I've always thought and always believed that basically if you think things through and if you're educated about politics, it's going to lead you to a conservative position. 1-800-955-1776. Last week, President Biden introduced a tax credit to small businesses to offset paid leave for employees to get a COVID-19 vaccine dose, part of an effort to spur hesitant Americans to get vaccinated. The announcement came amid signs that the pace of vaccination is slowing. The Biden administration has now reached its goal of giving 200 million doses within the president's first 100 days. Early leaders in the vaccine rollout have now been overtaken by states on the East Coast. Why? We'll get to that coming up.
You're listening to The Mighty Michael Medved Show.
On the Michael Medved Show, there is a yet another sad police killing. It's sad not just for, obviously, the victim and his family, but it's sad for the police officers involved. I promise you, no police officer wants to go out and shoot people. Not Black people, not white people, not Latino people, no people. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible thing, not only in terms of the guilt, but in terms of what it does to your career, what it does to your life, what it does to your relationship with your fellow officers. It's a an awful thing. No one wants to kill an unarmed suspect, which is what just happened in Los Angeles. It happened Saturday night. And this is the way that NBC, the local NBC, that's Channel 4 in L.A., covered the story. It says, the man who was shot and killed by the Los Angeles Police Department in Hollywood on Saturday has been identified and may have had previous run-ins with law enforcement before coming to the L.A. area. The coroner's office identified the man killed on Sunset and Fairfax as 34-year-old Richard Solitro. Police were investigating at a nearby hotel yesterday where guests say they spotted the suspect's car. The LAPD says their officers were confronted on Sunset Boulevard Saturday when a driver cut them off, hit reverse, and backed his car into their patrol car. The man then got out, confronted the officers while wearing a bulletproof vest, and hid one hand behind his back. The LAPD said they ordered the man to show his hand several times, but then he started counting down. 10, 9, 8, 7. They opened fire. Solitro died at the scene. Police said he did not have a weapon. His black sedan, however, had words written on it, including King Satan 666, references to government deception, to the New World Order, and to the Bible. The car stood out so much, they report on Channel 4, that a guest at the Quality Inn Hotel on La Brea Avenue, which is, about a mile and a half from where he was shot, reached out to NBC Channel 4, letting them know the car had been parked there, and Solitro had been a long-term guest at this hotel. Richard Solitro's father says his son was visiting California from Rhode Island and that he was also involved in a police shooting in Rhode Island in 2018. The front desk could only confirm that detectives were there over the weekend, but they could not comment further. So he's staying at a Quality Inn on La Brea for a while. He was shot by North Providence police in Rhode Island in 2018 after they say an officer doing a mental health check at his home was confronted by a man with a replica gun. Now, what this is an indication of probably is that some of the red flag laws they have in Rhode Island may have been working. Because this is obviously not the kind of individual you want to have with a gun. Now, why haven't you heard anything about this, do you think? Well, first of all, it seems obvious from the descriptions, and the descriptions I'm sure are going to be held up by body camera and others, and tons of eyewitnesses, that the guy was obviously provoking a police response. But second of all, the guy's white. And right now, the press narrative that people are instinctively and immediately concerned about is with black victims. It's not because there are more black victims than white victims. There aren't. There are proportionately more, but actually white victims are much more numerous in raw terms. But that's the narrative. Let's go to Yehuda in New York City. You're on the MedVed Show.
Sorry, 2 points, Michael. Number one, you mentioned that when you were not well in 2014, we were eagerly waiting for your recovery, and we're glad you're doing better, and I hope you're doing better now. We wish you many years of
Thank God. Thank you.
Now, to your point, to your point earlier about why people are hesitant to take the vaccine. Number one, you have the Johnson & Johnson, which is pretty popular, and then it's pulled off the shelf. And then you go back earlier with the CDC reports of that most people will have a full recovery. And as someone myself who had COVID, you know, thank God had a mild version. But as far as, you know, people say, okay, I had it and I recovered, so what do I need a vaccine? I already have the antibodies. So I think there needs to be more data produced on that.
Right. And again, they want people who have even had the vaccine who have even had the disease to get vaccinated because of an extra level of protection. Have you been tested for antibodies, Yehuda?
I had it at the end of February, so I didn't go test for it
okay,
yet.
Okay, so,
but I will
so
go
not yet.
Soon.
Okay. Okay, good. Look, the point over here is, and I do not believe, and this goes to the email that I was reading from Jared in North Carolina, and I don't believe that there should be government compulsion to force people to get the vaccine. But I was talking to my friend and colleague, Jeremy Steiner, pride of Hillsdale College, who was back from a brief vacation. I was talking to him about our experience. It's just the last couple of weeks since we've gotten vaccinated and our children have gotten vaccinated and people all around us have gotten vaccinated. We have started having Shabbat guests again. We hadn't for over a year. And we invited one particular Shabbat guest, but we want to make sure, and I think it's not unreasonable, that people who come into our house and are around our grandchildren and more are vaccinated. Now, that's a personal decision. I think there are people in workplaces who are going to make that decision. And I don't think that's illegal. I don't think that's shameful. I think it's appropriate if somebody is running a business, if you are concerned at all about bringing your employees back to your place of business, I think it should be up to the individual to say that, look, I want to make sure everybody in the place of business is vaccinated. I think most of your fellow employees would agree with that. And what is really very peculiar is what they report here in the Wall Street Journal. They say nationally, demographic divides persist in Americans' willingness to get vaccinated. The level of vaccine resistance suggests the country is nearing a plateau, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, an analysis released last week that accounts for current vaccination rates and their own survey data on willingness to receive a vaccine. The health policy nonprofit estimates the country is just a few weeks away from vaccinating all adults who want to be vaccinated. But that means only 52% have been vaccinated so far. So a few weeks from now, will we be up to that 70 or 80% that we need? We will see. It's a legitimate item of concern. It unquestionably will be, along with guns and police safety and the economy and the American jobs plan, as he calls it, and much else that President Biden will talk about. He will also, no doubt, speak about race issues. And there is a lot more about that, including a new drive to go back and to go back literally 130 years to try to take away medals of honor that were won by members of the United States Army. Actually, the 7th Cavalry, the same unit that was massacred at Little Bighorn, that unit fought another battle, which is not called a battle anymore, though it should be. It's called a massacre. And there is now a drive led by two very liberal senators, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, who, remember, had claimed phony Native American identity, and Jeff Merkley of Oregon. And they are trying to strip the Medals of Honor from a number of members of the United States military who won it, some of whom died in action. Why? We will get to that unbelievable story and much more, plus the Oscar madness, all coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.